The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to the Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and many signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you, they will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus' words in the Gospel today are apocalyptic. They give us some sense of the end times. And for those of you who, like me, receive news updates on your smartphone, you would have seen that there was a massive earthquake just off the coast of New Zealand this morning. And we see this in the scripture passages. Is this the end of times, right? Even if we look at, say, Rome, a city that has experienced, I think, hundreds of earthquakes just this year, are we looking at the end time? And there are other things besides. Skip past last Tuesday and look at the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series. Right? The world is totally upside down. But to understand this, to understand what Jesus is saying here, we have to go back to the start of the passage where people around Jesus are marveling at the temple. And Jesus said, it's going to be destroyed. This is one of the things that got him in a lot of trouble. It would be like for many reasons, many layers, won't get into it right now, but it will be like our speaking ill of the Statue of Liberty. It's that sign of freedom. And we say, we'll destroy that. We'll destroy that because we don't have freedom. And that would be blasphemous to most Americans. Well, Jesus is there, and it's not just that the temple is a symbol of the presence of God in the midst of Israel, but is actually meant to be the place where God and man come together, the place most specifically where heaven and earth intersect or overlap, the place where heaven comes to earth. And so when Jesus says it'll be destroyed, for good reason, the people around him are out to persecute him and tear him down. But the question really is why? Why is it that Jesus here is speaking ill of the temple? And then how is it that this apocalyptic language flows out of Jesus' condemnation of the temple? It would say primarily, Jesus speaks words of condemnation for the temple because he is the new temple. He is the living and breathing manifestation of what the temple was always supposed to be. He is the intersection of heaven and earth, Jesus. He is the place where man and God come together because he's fully man and fully God. He is the place of right worship. He is the place where, say here at the altar, sacrifice, true, worthy sacrifice is offered to God. So Jesus is the new temple, and so he puts the temple under condemnation because the temple was meant to be that reality of heaven coming to earth. And yet the temple and temple authorities had taken that call to be light to the nations, to bring God's grace to all peoples, and had turned it in on themselves for their own advantage. And so, in fact, had even made an idol out of the temple. When Jesus sets us straight, and when Jesus comes among us to bring about the rule of heaven, God's rule, his loving, merciful, just, righteous rule on earth, then we see that we meet opposition. And that's the apocalyptic language. We can talk about Jesus' return, right? Because we know Jesus, who once was dead and has been raised from the dead, who lives in, say, heaven as God's control room to bring about this heaven on earth reality, will himself return one day. We know that that's going to happen. But in the interim, what does it look like? What does our world look like? Well, we who have been claimed by Christ are to continue his mission of bringing heaven to earth. We're to struggle and effort to bring about God's rule of justice and peace for all peoples. But of course, the vested interests in the world, the structures of sin, and even the hardness of people's hearts are going to oppose that mission. Because there are a lot of people with a lot to lose. If we started living as God's redeemed people, we started living as people who are committed to Jesus above everything else, and we're striving with everything we had to bring about his rule of justice and peace, there'd be a lot of people who have a lot to lose because they've built up empires on the oppression of people, and we wouldn't stand for it. We just wouldn't stand for it. And it's all around us, unfortunately. But this is it. When we go out as Christ's people to tear down the structures of evil or the evil structures that exist in our world, then we're going to be opposed. But we go out nonetheless because we are the body of Christ. We are the ones. Just as Jesus calls out the idolatry of the temple, so too we have to call out the idolatries around us. Those things that too often occupy the central places in our hearts and our lives, but also our community's heart and life, and our country's heart and life. How do we do that? Right? We are inspired by God to go out and bring his love to life in the world around us. And as we do, we'll see, again, this opposition that will be sold out, turned over to the authorities and the rest. But for us, it won't matter, because our heart and our life is fixed on Jesus. Jesus who will return again. And we could look around, okay? There are plentiful signs, as I alluded to before, there are plentiful signs that the world is coming to an end. Are we ready? I'm not throwing it out there to say we've got to now live in fear that the end of time's coming. We know that Jesus will return, and when he returns, finally and firmly, his rule, God's rule, the rule that we struggle and strive for every day, his rule will be established. And so today it's ours to live that life more and more, that life that God gives us of truth and justice, of love and peace, and of true prosperity for all peoples. It's ours to receive it here as God pours his life into our hearts, be inspired by him to bring his love to those around us.